Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the TRSF podcast. That is the Real Soul Family. I am Sneakers John.
I am Leon Avery.
I am Leon underscore Palmer 123.
He's got the Insta plug.
Hey, and we've got a guest with us who featured in our last episode. And I really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me back.
Emil of Soul Seekers fame and creation. But we're going to talk about some culture things. You know, the UK sneaker culture has changed a lot over the last, well, I've been had a head all my life. I've been a sneakerhead for about 25 years, I'd say. And the culture has changed a lot from, you know, your campouts, your sneaker forums, you know, buying stuff out of a catalogue, which nobody, have you ever bought something from a catalogue?
No, I haven't.
Thank you for your contribution. But it has changed a lot, and I just wanted to kind of get your input on what you've seen, kind of the big significant shifts.
Obviously, the biggest shift is technology, is how we consume the shoes. That is the biggest change out of everything. Literally, how we consume the shoes and how we absorb the shoes as well, like how we display them. Because before, like, you wouldn't go to the store, take a picture of your shoes, go to Boots, get them to duplicate 1,000 copies, go to all your friends' house, post them for their letterbox and say, look at the shoes I bought the other day. You just wouldn't do that. Like, so it's how we consume it, and it's how technology has driven the culture so far. That is 100% the biggest change, and that's from retail to everything.
And I guess that removes surprises as well, because now we know from launch calendars, I know what's coming up for the next month and a half, 2 months. So, you know, I used to go to a sneaker store just to see what they've got.
But there's now so much stuff that just flies completely under the radar.
Mostly GRs.
Yeah. I got some lovely P6000s for like 39 quid.
Sorry, you said lovely and P6000s in the same sentence.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry. As you get to know me, I like more of the ugly stuff.
Yeah, I grabbed the gold and the red colourway for my missus for Christmas. So I had like £60 left of our £250 budget.
Yeah.
And I managed to get a pair, so she's happy. So
we'll see. There's more than one person in the room that likes them then.
Yeah, but there's two people in the country that like them. I guarantee now, go online, they're on sale, whatever you want.
Well, that's fill the your idea, boots. Isn't it? It's just a cheapish.
To be fair, you like what you like.
Yeah.
And speaking of stuff under the radar, one thing I'm slightly annoyed about, they brought out an Air Force One NBA for the Paris game, exclusive, and it didn't go on sneakers, it went on Nike. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to go up and get that.
Yeah.
Gone.
Completely.
Gone.
I didn't know they came out.
No, they came out.
And again, you're not going to see those on shelves anyway.
They were a nice shoe, and it was a semi-GR, and they were just gone. They're just gone. So
moving back to culture, because I sort of derailed us a bit there with my P6000 comment. What do you think of these sort of events that keep coming around? So we've got your Crepe City, your Sneakiness, your Complex Con, as different sort of brands are starting to get a bit more into it. It seems to be pretty much entirely funded by brands nowadays. I was speaking to the guys at Sneakiness before, and they weren't even sure if there is going to be a London event yet, because they've just got to get funding.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because I got into Sneakiness, for instance, because I used to live in Amsterdam. So that's when I used to go. I used to go in Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Zurich, Cologne. Like, those are the ones that we used to go to before it came to London. And then we used to see how they did it here. And obviously, Crepe City was the kind of first London one that put it on the map. And that went from being this whole kind of hub of culture, and people would come down and come and talk, and you could buy shoes and shoe-related products. And then it just turned into this thing where it's almost rebuked by the whole community. And it's literally come back on a quarter of the scale that it had before. Sure. And then you've got to be replaced, because you've got Sneaker Con that's come, which is the beast of everything. I've been to about 5 or 6 Sneaker Cons in 5 or 6 different states around the country. And when you see it, when you get to the traders pit and you see how active these people are, and they're in there, and people are sitting on shoes, and they brought their mum, because their mum has to sit on the shoes, so no one steals the shoes, and all that kind of stuff. And you realise just how intense it all is. And when it comes to England, it's a little bit, it's not that bad. But when you get there and you see how intense it is, you see that there's still a drive for it, and you see why so many people have emulated it. Because there's other things, like smaller ones like Table Bay, which are designer clothes and shoes and stuff like that, where you'll get top end stuff that you wouldn't get anywhere else at these particular events. And some people look at it as a shopping experience. The way that we consume things, because of online, we need a shop, can't just be a shop, it's got to be an experiential experience. You have to feel immersed in this particular part of your shopping experience. And so because of that, that's where these events come in, because you get the music, you get the food, you get the entertainment, you get like you get all of this stuff that you wouldn't get if you walked into JD's.
And that meetup feel as well, you know, you get to see other sneakerheads.
Of course.
You know, it's one of the reasons why we go to those events.
Yeah.
You know, as a family, we get to catch up and do our sneaker circles.
The last Crepe City, we rolled in like 48 men.
We represented.
Deep. Men and women,
Men and women.
But, like, I mean, how do you think that's changed over the year? Palmer, I know that you've been going for to Crepe City for an age now.
Yeah, see, I went to the first one at the Trim and Brewery, and it took me about 4.5 hours to get into the event.
It's funny.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. The
do
first
you know what?
Time.
It's funny you should say that, because the first one was actually at the Bar Music Hall on Curtin Road. And it was this really small, dark, dark venue where you could actually, like, you had to get the shoes close up. Because I don't know who the idea it was to put a retail event in the dark room, but it's just so it was. And that was literally the growth. And then I think after about 2 or 3 of those, that's when it went to Cherry Brewery.
Yeah, so it was around, I think it was 2013, because I remember the Independence Day MX 90 pack came out on the day of the event. Yeah, yeah. So I saw the shoes in the shop. I think it was size that was near around the Trimmy Brewery area. And I was like, oh, if I don't buy anything at Crepe City, then I'll come back and get these. Obviously, that didn't happen because they was all sold. They was gone, yeah. But I feel then, obviously, the shoes was like the main focus. You're there to buy shoes back then. But now,
yeah.
I like the last Crepe City, I went just for like a casual meetup. I didn't buy anything.
So this is what I found when I went to Laces Out earlier last year. So that was up in Liverpool. And I went there and it was so much less about the specific shoes or the sellers or everything.
Definitely.
It was the whole atmosphere. It was all these people that had met up. There were drinks flowing. It's brilliant. And to be honest, it is slightly less about the shoes, because most people go there and they don't even buy any shoes anymore. It's just about seeing everybody else, even people that you don't know or you haven't met before. And you're just there to sort of have a good time. And I think that's kind of how it's changed over the years. It's less of a retail experience.
No. I mean, that's why we did the Real Soul Family Barbecue last year. Like, that wasn't, I mean, you were there as well.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't about selling or trading anything. That was just sneakerheads getting together to enjoy some good food, have some music, have a drink, and just actually just catch up and enjoy, that's enjoying the culture. There's nothing to do with brands there.
I was surprised how many people went that I personally didn't know.
Yeah. Well, you've spoken to on Instagram, but never seen in 3D.
Yeah, we've got, like, just shy of, like, 100 people that we keep, sort of, like, internally. And then you've got, it was like 250 people turned up.
Yeah, at least.
And there was you know, plus ones. It was like, oh, I've brought my wife. And it's just like so many different people that you hadn't
even... Yeah, I thought you were single. What was that about?
Yeah.
Weird.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, I think now, because obviously the later like, events that I've been to, I've found like, obviously a lot, now the younger resellers are getting on board with the shoes. And a lot of the shoes at Crepe City are the same now. And these sort of events, like when I used to go, like however many years ago, you'd see your older pairs of Air Max 1 or whatever, or Dunks or whatever. Obviously, it's a little bit more because you can't usually buy them anywhere else. So you're like, okay, this is my chance to buy them. Let's
Most
get them.
Most stalls are the same nowadays. Yeah. Is the only thing that sort of irks me a little bit. But then you get other sellers who just put on the most amazing stalls, and it's just random running shoes you've never heard of before. Or like if you went to Laces Out, there was tables full of like, it was really cheap.
Well, you were saying in the main room, that was what the focus was.
The main room
of
Laces Out, because it's up north, it was all about football shoes, really. Mm. Football trainers. So you had your Gazelles, your Court Classics, and like it was really only focused on that. And then the side room was the usual sort of
Yeezys.
Younger generation, all those shoes that were there. It was really refreshing. Not my scene, but really refreshing.
No, but I've got to say, I really love Laces Out. Big up to Rob and the guys, because it's the trainer event where you see whole families.
Mm.
Like, you'll see mums, dads, inclusive. Kids, everybody. It's a day out. They literally look at it as a day out.
I loved it.
And then also, you get different products, which is refreshing as well. And then last one I went to, they had an exhibition of like
I love
all
the exhibition angle
casual,
for
the yeah, they had all the casual clothes and shoes as well, and you literally saw a timeline of your life from then till now, and it's some of the stuff you're like, ah, that's amazing. Some of the stuff is like, I can't believe I wore that, but it's just, but it's a kind of whole ethos of the event. It's extremely different, and I think it would only work up north anyway, because in London we've got a very big Nike bias. As soon as you go past Watford Gap, it's all Adidas. Literally, the country's split in two.
He ain't lying.
It's literally like that. It's been like that. Because obviously Nike and the other guys, they focused on the kind of urban aesthetic. That's what they've gone for, which is generally down south. And that's kind of what their focus is. But up north, they're like, I spoke to the young people up there. They're like, why do you collect trainers? Because my dad did. Like, my mum's into training, my dad's into training, my little brother, and like, it's a whole family thing.
It's generational.
Well. Yeah, exactly. And that's what makes it completely different to the events you get down in, London.
And another thing, well, maybe it's not a trend as such, but something that's happening a lot more I'm seeing is retailers now hosting regular events. You know, Offspring have their meetups, and then Sizer started doing like live performance nights where they're not really pushing shoes at all.
No, they're not.
It's just a cultural event where they're trying to get people together more.
But
how do you feel about it? Speak your mind.
Inherently, their goal is to sell shoes at the end of the day. And they've realised by giving us something back, we will buy shoes. Look at Offspring. I love Offspring. They've literally created a cult of people that won't go to other retailers, that won't even look at other things. They're like, we are Offspring. People are like, oh my God, I really hope I get this shoe. Go to the shop, bruv. Like, go to another shop, you'll get it. But it's like, they've created such a loyal fan base that the other retailers are looking at them like, wow. Right, for instance, who ever saw Size comment or anyone comment back on anything you said? Before Offspring did it, none of them did it.
I have Size Official Netherlands liking all my posts. They don't follow me. I don't tag them. I don't know why they're stalking me like this.
I think we do know, because we're here. Because you're here, that's why. And it's literally a case of they've got one of the largest consumer engagements in footwear in the UK. And all the other footwear brands, all the other people are like, all the other retailers are like, how do we get on top of that? Because you get some that are organic, like sneakers and stuff, they will answer back and they will literally be like, oh, we haven't got those, or do you like these, or you should look out for these, or they'll actually organically answer back as much as they can. But no one is as active as Offspring, and they've literally created the cult of Offspring, and they've created these loyal, this absolutely hardcore, loyal fan base, diehard fan base, that will get planes overseas to come and pick up their shoes and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, that's how some of the, you know, the family members have come through. We've got people in France, in Netherlands.
We've got Ray from our group who lives in Amsterdam.
Yeah. See?
And he'll fly over. Or we've got Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn, who frequents Canada. He comes over.
Yeah, we've got a few family members who are...
No, and this is what I mean. You can't pay for that kind of loyalty.
Yeah.
And literally, what they've done is they've rewarded you by giving you the shoes that you desire. So now that they've given you something you desire, literally like crack, you are hooked. You're not even looking anywhere else. So.
But the fascinating thing is with that, like, I tried to try and explain these raffle wins to my mum.
Yeah.
And she's like, I was like, oh yeah, I won the raffle. She's like, you're getting them. I was like, no, I have to buy them. I didn't win anything. Yeah. Really. I won the chance that's the to give them money.
You've won the chance to purchase shoes, and people look at you like you're crazy.
It's so surreal as well, because you're saying how excited you are to be able to give a retailer your money.
Yeah.
And then you say thank you to them for me giving them my money.
For following their natural business model. This is what
but
I'm saying.
It's genius. Absolutely genius.
And think about it, right? Yeah. You're a retailer. Right, the brand goes, we've got these to sell. You're like, yeah, we sold out of those already. We sold out of these already. And you're not getting the shoe for 3 months. You're like, you know that as soon as you post a raffle or you post a picture, judged by your engagement, the shoes are gone. Like, so you go back to the thing, you go to the retailer, and you're like, okay, cool, I want 5% off. I want 10% off. Because you know we sell shoes, they go. None of the stuff we goes on sale, da, da, da. And they're just like, okay, cool. And it's a bargaining chip as well. And again, at the culture serves the brand. Like, actually physically serve the brand, not only gives them money but gives them the license to make more money as well.
I mean, it's interesting because the first retailer that ever reached out to me was Foot Locker.
Okay.
And that was before social media, before I had a sneakers page.
Yeah.
They reached out and were like, we'd love you to be an ambassador, because I was going to events, because I was on camera. And I think they almost missed a trick not tapping into or seeing where the culture was going to go, because they never, Foot Locker's not that active on, well, they've become a little bit more active on social media, but they haven't really followed the culture and where it's gone.
I think they're a lot bigger in the US.
Huge. I mean, there's another beast in the US.
Yeah, and also, you have to look at bottom lines as well. The reason I haven't got into the culture as much is because they make so much money anyway. And then you look at JD's and you look at, like, because I'm always getting run for talking about JD's. JD's is the UK's biggest retailer.
They own everyone. They own
profit work. They are the biggest retailer on the road. They outsell everyone that's on the high street.
I mean, if you want to, if you want to learn a bit more,
they outsell everyone. They did 5 billion in 2018. They outsold everyone else on the high street.
If you guys do want to know a bit more about the kind of sneaker, the financial side of it, and the business side of it, check out the Sneaker Doc on Instagram, and also King of Trainers. Both of those guys are always talking about the business side of the industry.
No, definitely, because it drives it and it makes everything so much clearer when you realise the bottom line behind these things. Because we're like, we love shoes, we want to do this, we want to do that, but their job is to like literally use our culture to generate profit. So, which is fine, but then culturally, we've got to find our own way of generating profits. Obviously, resale is one, sneaker events are another. Then,
I mean, that's part of the reason why we created Soul and our merch and our merchandise to help have apparel that matched our trainers. Yeah. Yeah, we created that ourselves. Mike Pears has done a similar thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I want a pair of trousers that drops nicely on my shoes.
Exactly.
There is ways that we can kind of take ownership of that culture and create things that do monetize our passion.
Because you have to remember, if you don't, someone else will. Literally as simple as that, and it won't be you.
Off topic now. What did you think about Nike's Nothing Beats a Londoner ad?
I thought it was a really good ad. But I thought it mirrored the Adidas stuff that they were doing in 2011, 2012. Mm. It would, if they could have literally swapped the brands out, it would have been an Adidas ad. Adidas used to, when Adidas was at the top of its game, those are the kind of ads it produced regularly with the equivalent people in them, with the equivalent kind of thing. It looked like an Adidas ad to me. And then obviously, Londoner got, because there's a sports brand called Londoner, and they said to Nike, cease and desist, that's why all that stuff's gone, yeah? Because one lawyer didn't do his job.
Yeah.
So that's that. But to me, I like the campaign, but again, it was an emulation of stuff that Adidas did when Adidas were top.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Brands like JD as well have started doing it. The amount of athletes and stuff like Joshua, like Virgil, like H, the rapper, they're all on their adverts as well now, aren't they? So like all the JD adverts are celebrities.
The JD thing personally really annoys me because I am JD.
Yeah.
That's actually my name. So, like, JD, cease and desist, come on. Like, that's my brand.
Now, there's an infamous story about a certain person in the community.
I know who you're talking
about.
And
his battle with David and Goliath. And he won because obviously he'd done something at Foresight and he had done the right thing and they tried to come after him. Rather than work with him, they tried to crush him. When they realised they couldn't, they just left him alone. And you're like, why has it got to be like that?
But they should have embraced him.
I know, but they just don't work like that.
Especially in terms of sneaker culture in the UK.
I know.
He is, a big part of that. And, I think he's also inspired a lot of people to take ownership of that culture.
Exactly.
In a similar way that you have with Soul Seekers. I think if anyone can take anything away from, this discussion here, and I mean, you guys feel similarly, please put it in the comment section, is how do we find more ways to own and celebrate our culture and not wait for brands. As much as I love what Offspring have done, I'm kind of shocked that it didn't happen sooner from the community itself.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but they've kind of created a hub of a community, but we've always been there.
But then again, look at what we're doing now. Look what you guys are doing now. This is the start. You have your own podcast. That's the start. And it's spawned other sneaker podcasts already. And you've only had a few
episodes. You've got the panel guys as well. They're doing the same kind of thing.
And you've got these different groups that are springing up and they are literally carving their own niche within the culture. And that's basically the way forward. Because the culture is brand-led. It literally is brand-led. We flock to brands. Brands dictate because they've got the most money to put on the better events that people go to or don't go to. Right? So it needs someone to actually put their own hands in their pockets, like King Trains, like itself, will be drop of the year and actually do things for the community themselves and drive basically the money and the effort and the time and the ideas back into the community.
I mean, speaking of brands and culture, I think Puma have been quite active as well.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. They were a big sponsor.
Yeah, because Puma's one of the brands that realised
they get it
at the ground level.
And weren't they one of the ones that, when you said you wanted to do the film, one of the first brands
they
to
were
say
the
we
only
get
brand
involved
that actually came and represented what they wanted on that film. I spoke to Nike. Nike were like, oh, we don't want to get involved, but who are you doing it? What's doing it? Who's in it? I was like, yeah, you start the sentence wrong. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Without going into specifics, has it been easier this second time around? Have you approached any brands or have they approached you?
Not yet, no. We've got the story. The brands are less relevant this time.
Brilliant, okay.
Like the platforms that we've got and the stories we're telling, the brands are less relevant for its success. First time round, I went to every single brand ever. They were just like, no, not interested. You've got this person in it. We're not doing it. That person represents that. We're not interested.
They don't want to get involved until they see what it actually
And also,
like.
They want full creative control. They want to tell the narrative of the story. Like, if they can't have creative control, they're just not interested.
But another thing you're doing as well is a blog as well on soulseekersfilm.com. Yes. And you're trying to get people to tell their own stories to, you know, through their lens. Because I feel like a lot of the time, it gets too London-centric.
No, definitely.
And I think if people, you know, people in Liverpool, Manchester, Leeds, who have got their own pockets of culture around sneakers, they should be getting in contact with you. And you're writing their stories.
No, definitely. Because what I did when I made Soul Seekers 2 is I made sure I went across the country. I went from Scotland right down to Cornwall, and I spoke to everyone in between, England, Scotland, Wales, everyone's represented. Because I knew I could have told the London story quite easily, but it's obviously bigger. Mm. And it's obviously different stories and different reasons.
I think there's a lot of grief that comes from people who are outside of London who still belong to this sort of UK culture that brands will often forget about.
Yeah, they overlook them.
Yeah, because they overlook them because either the footfall's not enough, they can't bother to ship the shoes, they don't have the same arrangements in place, all kinds of different things. 9 times out of 10, it kind of borders between money and ignorance. Not ignorance is they refuse, but they just don't really understand. And they need someone from the culture to direct them. Because what you have to remember, most of the people in place in the creative industries now are ex-sneakerheads. They're people that love the culture. Look at Udox, started by two sneakerheads. The guys from, they just love trainers and they just started their own agency and now everyone flocks to their agency to do all their sneaker-related stuff because they know what they're talking about.
I mean, even Magdi is another great another case in point, Archive DNA.
Yeah.
You know, he's been part of the UK culture. I mean, he was one of the reasons why I became a real collector.
Exactly.
Because,
big up Magdi.
Yeah, Magdi Fernandez, archive.dna.
Yeah.
I think he is. Check out his channel. But he has always kind of been in the scene, but brands weren't working with him until he built that momentum with Archive DNA. And then he was at Soul DXB.
Yeah.
You know, did a huge exhibition, showed shoes that people have only ever heard of, let alone seen.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
And I think that's another case in point of someone taking ownership and just creating
Literally, we have to take ownership. You can't wait for the brands. You just got to do your own thing.
Sure. So we're coming up to the 20-minute mark now. Is there anything in particular that you wanted to cover that we haven't yet?
The aspect of it that I really, really wanted to get across was that take ownership. I think people watching this, and if you have been inspired and to do your own videos and podcasts from this, then that's part of the reason why we wanted to do this and get people involved, because we want people to tell their stories and to have these conversations. It's interesting. I'm a sneakerhead. I'm a fan of content. Mm. So if we can push people to encourage you guys to do your thing, then that's amazing. That's what we're here for.
Definitely.
And I did want to just take a second to say about LaunchPod Studios, the fact that there have been so many other people that have, you know, jumped on this straight away, I think it's amazing. And I think everybody has a voice and everybody has an opinion for the most part. And that if you do, you should definitely get in touch with LaunchPod. They've facilitated, as we film this now, like 5 episodes for us, and they've been absolutely fantastic. So please get in touch if you want to spawn your own podcast, or even if it's just videos, unboxings.
And also shout out to everyone who has been listening to us, because we found out that 30% of the people that have been enjoying the podcast are listening. So if you guys haven't seen it yet on Apple Music, you can find it. Spotify, we are on
Spotify, Apple Music,
Google Podcasts.
Yep. And then obviously the visual experience is on YouTube, but we know it's like 30% of our actual viewers are coming from audio only.
Which is
so
huge.
We've tried to make sure that we've stepped up the audio for these rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if you guys have enjoyed it, please let us know in the comment section below. In the meantime, subscribe, tell your friends. Thanks, Emil, for coming on. Really appreciate you.
And remember that you can watch Soul Seekers Film on iTunes, Google Play, or Amazon Prime. These guys are going to put the link in the descriptions for me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
And also, I look forward to being on part of Soul Seekers too. It'd be amazing.
I really like your hat, bro. Like, I like the way it complements your kind of outfit. And oh my God, you're really working that shirt.
Yes.
I'm joking. I'm sure we can do something for you.
I think you said already the Real Soul Family barbecue, that was...
I actually videoed that barbecue and it's sitting on my hard drive. And when I get around to it, I'll send you the edit.
Oh, nice. Oh,
fantastic.
Well, yeah, thanks for watching, guys. And keep watching on our channel. Also, Instagram, The Real Soul Family.
Yep. And these episodes might go on IGTV at some point.
At some point.
Okay.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.